I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Beginning reading in verse 12. John 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they that heard that he had done, they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of this passage. And we ask, Lord, as we look at the subject before us today, that you might help us to understand, and that Jesus Christ might be glorified. Lord, we thank you so much that for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Help us to realize the importance of that event today. And if there's someone here who has never yet trusted Jesus as their Savior, as he is lifted up before them today through the Word of God, I pray that they might respond in faith and believe on Jesus. Those of us who already know you as our Savior, sometimes, Lord, we get a little cold and indifferent in our Christian life. Sometimes we're overcome by temptations, and we need a reminder that you are so important to us and that we should live our life for you. So remind us today of that, and we'll thank you for what you accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The world has many attractions today. There are sports attractions, theatrical attractions, musical attractions, animal attractions, festive attractions, vacation attractions, political attractions, construction or archaeological or architectural attractions, and many others, because man many times puts on a show. Last night we went to a nephew of mine, and we went to his wedding. And at a wedding, you know, the family tries to do things up really nice. And as we were leaving the wedding reception, there was another wedding going on in that place. It was a place where they had the reception. There was another one going on, and there drove up in front of that place this great big long limousine. I mean, that thing was probably almost as long as a church. It was the longest one I've ever seen. It was really a stretch limousine. And white, you know, and beautiful. And I looked at that and thought, you know, people really try to put it on. People really try to impress. And it's probably the last time those people ever ride something like that. But it was an attraction in itself. Well, the man has attractions. He has special things. But, you know, God has his attractions, too. I think of the attractions the Lord has in nature. He has the scenery, the seasons, the skies, the seas, the storms, and then space. All of these things are God's physical attractions. But all of these are insignificant when compared to the greatest attraction that the Lord ever had and ever will. And that's what's recorded in verse 32 of this passage. The Lord says this, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. The attraction I want to speak to you today about is the cross of Calvary. The cross is the focal point of all human history. It's God's greatest attraction. All time before the cross points to the cross. And all time after the cross points back to the cross. Also, all human beings, you might not know this, but I think you'll understand when I say it, and that is all human beings have attended God's greatest attraction, the cross of Calvary. All human beings have attended that attraction. You see, everyone was there when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Everyone was there by fault. It was our sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was our fault that he had to die. Our sin was laid upon him on the cross of Calvary. So you might think, well, I'm not old enough to have been back there. But my friend, you were there. You were there in an unusual way, and that is God knew about you before you were ever born. And God knew all about your life, and God knew all about your sin. And God took your sin, and he laid your sin on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So you were there. In a very real sense, you were there by fault. It was your fault that Jesus died on the cross. I preached a message one time and about whose fault was it that Jesus died. And what hung him to the cross? What nailed him to the cross? What kept him on the cross? And the answer is this, you did. You nailed him to the cross, and I nailed him to the cross. My sin put him there. And so in a real way, I was there at the cross of Calvary. And many of us have been to the cross in another way. We've been there by faith. By faith, we have looked back to the cross of Calvary almost 2,000 years ago, and we believed on Jesus and what he did for us there. I have been to the cross by fault, and I've been to the cross by faith. Every one of you have been to the cross by fault. I ask you today, have you been there by faith? Have you gone back to that greatest attraction of all history, to the cross of Calvary? Have you been there by faith? I remember the day that I turned my faith to Jesus Christ, and I looked back at the cross and what he did for me on the cross, and I accepted him as my personal Savior, and I believed in him, what he did for me, and I trusted what he did for me. My focus was on his greatest attraction, the cross of Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about some things concerning that the cross, the great God's greatest attraction. The first one is the person of God's greatest attraction. Who is the person? Look at verse 32. "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Jesus said, "If I be lifted up." The person of God's attraction, the greatest attraction, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible tells us very plainly who He is. First of all, we know that He's the Creator God. I mean, when you turn away the Lord Jesus Christ, you reject Him as your Savior. You're also rejecting the One who made everything. The One who holds everything together. He's the One that made the stars and the sky, everything in the sky. He's the One that made the heavens and everything that's in it. He's the One made the earth and everything that's in it. He is the Creator God. The Lord makes that clear in the Scripture. He's also the Son of God. This attraction, this person of this greatest attraction is the Lord Jesus, and He's the Son of God. Now, what I mean by that is not what some people think. And that is, they say, God is up in heaven and one day He had a son. No, that's not the way the Bible says it. The Bible says God is in heaven and He exists in three persons. One God, three persons. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father always existed. God the Son always existed. And God the Holy Spirit always existed. Neither one of them had a beginning. They are eternal. They have always been. As the Scripture says of Jesus, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. He always has been. And so, this is who we're talking about, the Son of God. And so when Jesus came to this earth, He was the only one that ever originated in or was in heaven and came to the earth. No baby ever came to the earth from heaven. Your baby might be sweet, but they didn't come from heaven. They came from the womb. But Jesus came from heaven because He's God. And the Son of God left heaven's glory and came to this earth. He's the person of this attraction, the Son of God. But also He's called the Savior. He's the Savior. His name is Jesus. You remember what the Scripture says? That Jesus means Savior. And He's the Savior. He has other names. We've heard of a lot of other names. We sang one of them this morning. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's Wonderful. He's Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. The Bread of Life. He's the Door. He's the Foundation. He's the Great High Priest. He's the Judge. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Master. He's the Physician. He's the Redeemer. He's the Rock. He's the Stone. He's the Shepherd. He's the Teacher. He's the Unspeakable Gift. He's the Word of God. He's the Way. And He's the Wisdom of God. He is so much, but the name that means more to us than any other name is His name is Jesus, which means He's the Savior. Yes, all of these names describe Him, but there's no other name like Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel was talking to Joseph about the child that would be born, who was Jesus, who was coming from heaven to this earth. And his body would be conceived in the womb. And the Bible says this, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus, because He'll save His people from their sins. The name Jesus actually means Savior. He's the one that we sing about. So many songs have been written about Jesus. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. There's another song that says, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. And it concludes by saying, oh, how I love Jesus. And you know the song, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. And then the song that says, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would fall. And then another song says, Jesus, the very thought of Thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far Thy face to see and in Thy presence rest. Yes, Jesus is a wonderful person. He's my Savior. And one of the songs I really love about Jesus is this. There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, Jesus, he's the sweetest name we know. What a wonderful person. The person of this greatest attraction is the Lord Jesus. What's the performance, though, of this greatest attraction? What actually happened there? I know you go to Bible camp, and one of the great attractions there is the blob. The blob. And you'll see it at the end of the service today, some pictures of that. And somebody jumps off of a high tower, and they land on this blob. You say, what's fun is that? It's just a great big long inner tube, probably as long as from here to the back of the church. A big long blown-up thing and inflated tube. And they jump off this high tower and hit the end. And what's so fun about it is there's somebody on the other end. So when they hit this end, the guy on the other end flies up in the air and into the water. That's an attraction at camp. And the performance of that attraction is one man jumps off and another man goes up. Or one girl jumps off and another girl goes up. Or one boy jumps off and a girl goes up. That's the attraction. That's the performance of the attraction. But what's the performance of God's greatest attraction? Notice what it says in verse 32 again. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth. If I be lifted up from the earth. Jesus was speaking of his death on the cross of Calvary. The performance of God's greatest attraction was Jesus dying on the cross, taking our sins upon himself. Man has his attractions. And usually there's lights and there's all kinds of fanfare and maybe a lot of work in preparation to make it beautiful and exciting and all that. But you see, the greatest attraction in all of human history was at the cross. And my friend, let me tell you something. There was nothing pretty about it. It was ugly. It was terrible. It was Jesus, the spotless Son of God, being rejected by everyone and hung there on the cross, suspended on the cross between earth and heaven, rejected by earth, condemned by heaven. And there he hung. The sins of the world fell down upon Jesus. It was so bad, the Bible says, at noonday that it turned dark like midnight. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was a terrible experience. It was an ugly experience. The blood flowed from his hands and his feet and his side and his back and his cheeks where they plucked out the beard and his head where they shoved the crown of thorns down upon him. His back was whipped and beaten into a mass of shredded flesh, and it was such an awful sight. What Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Nothing pretty about this attraction, but it's still the greatest attraction of all the earth, of all history. Because Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto him. You see, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must tell people about God's greatest attraction. You must be able to tell about the cross and what Jesus did for you. Isn't it a shame that some of us as Christians can talk about other attractions? You can talk about going to a ball game. You can talk about going to see a fireworks display. You can talk about riding a roller coaster and all these things. You can talk about the attractions you've been to. But when it comes to the cross, we sometimes just quieten down and we don't say anything. We should be telling people about the greatest attraction of all human history, and that is Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. The cross should be what we sing about. The Bible, or the song book says this, the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The song At the Cross says, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And the answer is, yes, he did. For such an undeserving person as you and I, Jesus did that for us. The song at Calvary says, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And one of my favorite songs burdens are lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear, but burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. I remember the years when my burden of sin was on my shoulders. I had no peace. I didn't know about my future, and I thought if I died, I'd go to hell. But I remember that day that I was saved, and I'll never forget it, and burdens were lifted at Calvary. I had been there by fault. I went back there by faith, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and He forgave me of all my sins. And so I can say with the songwriter, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. We can't be proud when we think about how bad we were, how bad we are. You say, well, how bad are we? We're bad enough that it took the death of Jesus on the cross to save us. Don't you be proud and think you're really great. You are so despicable that your sin nailed Jesus to the cross and mine as well. But we look back and we see what He did. And we say, when I survey that wondrous cross, I can't be proud, but I can sure be joyous that Jesus died for me. You see, my friend, the attraction that day, the performance of that great attraction was one simple thing. And that is, Jesus died for my sin and yours. But then I notice another thing, the people to be attracted. You know, there are some attractions you'll never be able to go to. Some attractions you might not be able to afford, or maybe you can't go to the distance that it takes to get to that attraction. But this is an attraction that's for everybody. Notice what it says again in verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. There's a drawing power of the cross that goes to all men. That's why you look back there on our bulletin board where the missionary map is, and you see all those ribbons going to all those different places around the world. Why is that? Why would we send the message to all those places? Because there's a drawing power of the cross to all men. You see, there is one God, and man sins against that one God. And there's no remedy available for that sin except that one God sends the remedy, and He did. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus just didn't die for certain people. He died for everybody. The Bible says He is the propitiation for all of our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of all the world. He died for everybody. And because He did, He says the people to be attracted are all. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Everyone needs the cross. Everyone was represented at the cross. Jesus died for your sins. And because He died for your sins, there's a draw from the cross to you. As you hear the message this morning, maybe you can feel that attraction. Maybe you can feel that Jesus died for me. What am I going to do about it? Jesus died for me. Am I going to accept Him as my personal Savior? You see, the way to heaven, friend, is not through religion. It's not through your actions. It's not through your goodness. It's not through your performance. It's through the performance of Jesus Christ years ago on the cross of Calvary. The way to heaven is through Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs what was done for them there on the cross of Calvary. And everybody, whether they know it or not, really longs for that. Everyone longs for what was accomplished on the cross because everyone longs to be forgiven. You know, I don't care who it is. It might be a proud man who curses God. But if you could see in the side of his heart, he would long to be forgiven. He would long to know that God is going to accept him. There's nothing like forgiveness, and the Lord offers that. Everyone longs for peace that only God can give. There's many a troubled soul today. Some don't know why they're troubled, but they're troubled. They don't have peace. They try everything to get peace. They try the laughter to get peace. Many of the comedians today laugh because they're trying to drown out the sorrow they have in their own hearts. They don't have any peace. that peace is offered by Jesus. Because he says, I will forgive you of all your sins. I'll promise you a home in heaven. You can know all things are going to work together for good, and someday you're going to be with him, and everything is going to be great. The best is yet to come. I mean, wouldn't it be good to know that? You can know that. And the cross makes that available. Jesus died for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Lord draws you. He convicts you. You might be in the service today and you might say, you know, I've never felt this quite this way. What's happening? If you have a conviction in your heart that you need Jesus, I'll tell you what's happening. The Holy Spirit is drawing you and he wants you to be saved. You see, the purpose of the attraction is one other thing we want to look at. The purpose of the attraction. We find some things in this passage that tell us why this great attraction took place. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What was the purpose of the Lord being lifted up on the cross of Calvary? Let me give you some of those. Verse 27, first of all, the purpose is that he wanted to fulfill God's plan. Look at verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus said, I came for this purpose. Because he was the God-man and he was human being, he didn't look forward to what he was going to do. He didn't look forward to it with anticipation of suffering. He looked at it and he saw what was going to happen and he said, if it be possible, take this hour from me. But then he said, nevertheless, I know I came for this hour. God had planned this before the foundation of the world. The purpose of this attraction was to bring glory to God, and Jesus was willing to do that. He wanted to fulfill God's plan. God had planned this particular hour. If you look in your Bibles in the Gospel of John, let's look back a few passages where he speaks of that hour. Look at verse 30 of chapter 7. Then they sought to take him. John 7, verse 30. But no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. There was an hour that was prepared for Jesus. It was planned. And it was going to come, but it had not come yet. Look at chapter 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then look at chapter 12. We read that a while ago, but chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be betrayed. And verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour. And then look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. I mean, this was a time that had been planned. And he came to fulfill God's plan and to accomplish this hour that had come. And this hour was the hour that he would die for us on the cross. Look back quickly to Mark chapter 14. And you'll see this vividly betrayed. Mark 14, verse 35. And he went forward a little, this is Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, this hour, the hour might pass from him. He says, if it be possible, take this hour from me. But then look at verse 41. And he cometh the third time and he saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So Jesus came, this attraction, the purpose of it was to fulfill God's plan. And he had this hour that had been planned ahead of time. He must suffer. And so he goes to the cross and he hangs there to fulfill the plan of God. He hung there also to glorify God. Look at chapter 12 of John, verse 28. And it says, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. There's three times in the New Testament where there's a voice comes from heaven in relation to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it talks about his baptism and says there's a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In chapter 9 of Luke, verse 35, it was at his transfiguration when he was transfigured before them. And it says, this is my beloved son, hear him. And then this third voice from heaven, we find it recorded in the passage we've just read. It was after his triumphal entry, when they laid the palm branches before him, and he was riding into the city, and this voice came from heaven, and Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name, and then the voice came and says, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. I have glorified my name in you, in your life, Jesus. And all the good things you've done and all the miracles you've performed, it's brought glory to God. And I will glorify it again. And I believe there he's talking about the cross. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And the purpose of that greatest attraction was to draw people to himself, to glorify the Father in doing that. And then there's another purpose, and that's to defeat the devil. Notice what it says in verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus defeated Satan. He defeated him by taking the sin of the world upon himself and paying the price. And so that anybody can go to heaven and escape the clutches of the devil if they only believe on him. And so on the cross, he defeated the devil. But then that final purpose that we've mentioned already, and that is, his purpose was to draw you to himself. Think about that. The greatest attraction in all of human history was for you. You. Every one of you. You individually. You might say, but I'm not very important. The greatest attraction that ever happened was for you. It was so to draw, it was to draw you to God. It was to draw you to himself. God loves you, my friend. God died for you. He wants to save you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants you to live for him. The greatest attraction in all of the human history was for you. To draw you unto himself. Now, God draws. He doesn't drive. He won't drive you, but he'll draw you. Some people will not accept the Lord, but he has drawn them. He showed them creation and how great he is, and many of them reject that. And they say, no, there's no God. He draws you in many ways. He draws you by his sacrifice on the cross. When you hear about what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says it like this. God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved you. Love has a drawing power. The scripture says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. There's something about thinking this. There you sit today, and maybe you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. Everyone is. But maybe you know that you've done some terrible things. And yet you hear that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He took all of your sin on himself. He took all the punishment you deserve upon himself. His love draws you. But then his scripture draws you as well. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I don't understand it all, but I know this. The preaching of the gospel, which is the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins, and then he rose from the grave as proof that it was all paid for. He's alive today. That message has a drawing power, like nothing else. There's no other message compares to that. It has a drawing power. So God draws you with the scripture. You say, why am I being troubled by this message you're telling me? I've heard a lot of messages. I've heard a lot of things told me. But why am I being drawing by this? Because the word of God has power. God has chose through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And so God draws you by the scripture. God draws you by his spirit. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit says, come. So that troubling you're having in your heart is the Holy Spirit of God who's taking the Word of God and using it in your heart to bring you to Himself. And you feel under conviction. Why is that? Because of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is using His message to bring you to Himself. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. But then God also uses the saints. Now, I know sometimes saints turn you off. What I'm talking about saints is the Bible says every believer in Jesus Christ is a saint. We're set apart one. We belong to God. And saints are supposed to help people want to know the Lord. We're the salt of the earth. Salt makes you thirsty. And we're supposed to help people want to know the Lord. But sometimes Christians turn people off. And that's sad. That shouldn't be. But our job is to cause people to want to know the Lord. We should live in such a way and have the peace of God in such a way and enjoy life in such a way that people will say, I wish I had that. And God uses the saints to draw people unto Him. God has ordained that people who hear about the cross and trust the Lord as their personal Savior are the ones that God wants to use to tell other people about the cross so they'll come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. The Greeks came to Philip, verse 20 and 21 tells us, and they said this, Sir, we would see Jesus. The world says to us, Sirs, we would see Jesus. I hope there's something in our life as a Christian that draws people to the Lord. You see, our responsibility is to lift Him up. The Lord says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Him, unto me. Back almost 2,000 years ago, I say almost because Jesus lived to be 33 years old. And so He died at that time. And it's been almost 2,000 years ago that He died on the cross for our sins. When He was lifted up on the cross, He says, I did that to draw men to me. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to lift up Jesus. Lift Him up. So the parents are to lift up Jesus to their children. The teachers are to lift up Jesus to their students. The businessman is to lift up Jesus to his clients. The boss is to lift up Jesus to their workers. The worker is to lift up Jesus to their boss. The doctor to their patients, the nurse to their patient, the patient to your doctor and to your nurse, the coach to their team, the church officers to the people of the church, the pastor to his people, the people to their pastor. I mean, we're to lift up Jesus, not put Him down, but lift Him up. And if we lift Him up, the Bible says He will draw all men unto Himself. You see, the devil will do everything he can to keep us from lifting up Jesus. He knows that the greatest attraction of all time is the cross of Calvary, but he doesn't want people to know about it. And many people in the world today are ignorant of that. They know a lot of other things about important things or exciting things, but they don't know about Jesus. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The song says this, oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. Does the cross have an attraction to you? The Lord says the cross is the greatest attraction. I hope that you have been attracted to the cross and you've trusted Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. Lord, we've seen today that the person of the attraction is Jesus. The performance is something that was very hard to look upon. And that is Jesus became sin for us and died in our place. The purpose, the people to be attracted was everybody. And the purpose we've seen, Lord, was to fulfill Your plan to glorify You, defeat the devil, and then draw people to Yourself. There's someone sitting here today, Lord, who has never trusted Jesus. They've heard about it. They've watched other people who say they're Christians. They know that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they've never done that. I pray for that one, Lord, today, that they would come and they would trust Jesus as their personal Savior, be willing to admit it publicly and say, I am a sinner, but I want to be saved. I pray that they'll come today. We're going to sing an invitation song, Lord, and I pray that people will respond and that they will obey. Maybe someone has trusted the Lord recently, some in camp, and they should come today and just let people know, yes, I was saved, and I'm not ashamed. Help us to stand up for Jesus, because surely He stood up for us as He hung on the cross. We pray in Jesus' name.